The city is built to music. The fates of musicians in the emerging digital economy are examined. How long is too long to wait? A little over a decade and a half ago, with the birth of the World Wide Web, a clock started. The old media empires were put on a path of predictable obsolescence. But would a superior replacement arise in time? What we idealists said then was, just wait. More opportunities will be created than destroyed. Isn't 15 years long enough to wait before we switch from hope to empiricism? The time has come to ask, are we building the digital utopia for people or machines? If it's for people, we have a problem. Open culture revels in bizarre, exaggerated perceptions of the evils of the record companies or anyone else who thinks there was some merit in the old models of intellectual property. For many college students, sharing files is considered an act of civil disobedience. That would mean that stealing digital material puts you in the company of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. For an example of this common rationalization, here's a quote from an essay by Sharkhead007, found on the site Big Nerds, which describes itself as a free essay and coursework database, meaning students use it to avoid writing assignments. Critics would say that if the government says something is illegal, it is morally wrong to go against it. However, Henry David Thoreau wrote a famous essay called Civil Disobedience, which described that sometimes the public has to revolt against law. Public activists and leaders such as Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. adopted the ideas expressed in Thoreau's essay and used them to better the lives of the people they were fighting for. Downloading music from the internet, although it may not be as profound as freeing people from bondage and persecution, is a form of civil disobedience. It is a revolt against a corrupt system put in place for the sole purpose of making money, regardless of the welfare of the consumer or the artist. It's true that the record companies have not helped themselves. They have made a public fuss about suing the most sympathetic people, snooped obnoxiously, and so on. Furthermore, there's a long history of sleaze, corruption, creative accounting, and price-fixing in the music business. Dreams still die hard. By 2008, some of the leading lights of the open culture movement started to acknowledge the obvious, which is that not everyone has benefited from the movement. A decade ago, we all assumed, or at least hoped, that the net would bring so many benefits to so many people that those unfortunates who weren't being paid for what they used to do would end up doing even better by finding new ways to get paid. You still hear that argument being made, as if people lived forever and can afford to wait an eternity to have the new source of wealth revealed to them. Kevin Kelly wrote in 2008 that the new utopia is famously good news for two classes of people: a few lucky aggregators such as Amazon and Netflix, and 6 billion consumers. Of those two, I think consumers earn the greater reward from the wealth hidden in infinite niches. But the long tail is a decidedly mixed blessing for creators. Individual artists, producers, inventors, and makers are overlooked in the equation. The long tail does not raise the sales of creators much, but it does add massive competition and endless downward pressure on prices. Unless artists become a large aggregator of other artists' works, the long tail offers no path out of the quiet doldrums of minuscule sales.